Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless
you. I'm Steve Walters.
I'm Patrick Marley.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's look at this week in the Capitol and politics. I want to thank Patrick Marley for sitting in for the vacationing JR. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
WISI Was There has been on hiatus for 2 weeks, so we have a really good one. I'm not going to list the elements. Let's just go to WISI Was There.
I look at the president's agenda and I say it's a darn good one, and everyone in this room knows it. I get you ask your question in the negative context, but I say this is a good agenda. It's an agenda that's actually growing this country, and it's creating opportunity for all people, no matter what they look like. So I'm not going to fall into the trap. The president's done good work, and we should applaud him for it. If we're going to talk about the stylistic differences with the president, I mean, let's be honest. We're going to talk about what happened in Helsinki, right? Like, what I saw is the president kept an open line of communication with another foreign leader. But at the end of the day, the president did not offer billions of dollars to a state sponsor of terror like Barack Obama did. So I would appreciate some of the outrage you hear directed at the president, directed at previous leaders that have made substantial and real mistakes that actually cost lives.
Madison is one of 64 school districts that's receiving funding through the school mental health services grant. That's why in my budget request that will be upcoming, I will be seeking a tenfold increase in state dollars targeted towards mental health supports.
Our highways different from all these other utilities. All the others are businesses funded directly by their customers based on the amount they use. It's a true user pays, user benefit system. People who pay the bills are called customers, and they're valued and treated as customers. In all my years of working with state DOTs, the term that's used is users. You are just a user. You're not a customer, and you're not treated like a customer, except by toll roads, because they have a direct relationship with you as a customer.
You can see on the right there, that's a body camera of an individual witness in a case. It was an officer-involved death up north. Prior to February 16, if this video was to go out to the public, you would get a black screen with a DOJ seal because we just didn't have the ability to blur. With my position, now you can get it in that way, which I think is great. It's going towards our mission and transparency.
This behavior from Matt Flynn has been unacceptable from day one, but we have reached a point of no return for the rest of the Democrats in this field. They can no longer continue to simply be silent on this issue. Even Democrat legislators have come out and said that he is simply not qualified to be governor for the state of Wisconsin. But we hear nothing from any of the other Democrats in this race.
You know, the more that comes out about Matt's work for the Archdiocese, the worse it looks. I don't think he was forthcoming enough about his role. If he had just come clean at the very beginning and just come out and said, this is the whole story, that's exactly why you just shouldn't make a party loyalty pledge and say that you'll endorse a nominee no matter who it ends up being.
This race is too important to have internal fighting, which is why we're building a movement. It's not just about our race, but it's about taking back control of Congress. I did have some issues. 20 years ago, I was arrested for an OUI in Upper Michigan. I've learned from it. It's something that won't happen again, hasn't happened since. And now I have an 11-year-old, soon-to-be 12-year-old son. I'm trying to be the best role model I can for him. But when it comes to former issues in the past, I'd like to see more elected officials say, yes, I'm not perfect.
Well, I too am not perfect, but I have not been arrested 9 times.
I could lose my mother to immigration. She didn't do anything wrong. She just wanted to have a free life and be happy. She's waiting for her visa, but it's not coming.
Patrick, the Kimberly-Clark tax breaks, tax incentives is back in the news this week. I was surprised by it. But now the union said with a new union pact, the company can commit to using the incentives if the proposed legislation is passed and agreed to. Senate President Roth, all this is happening in his district, right?
That's
These two plants.
Yep. Yes.
we need to come back in session as soon as possible. If we don't act, jobs will be lost. We'll need some Democrats to come to the table. Governor Walker's tweet, we look forward to working with Senate leaders and the company to keep hundreds of good paying. And then finally, Senate Democratic Leader Schilling, Republicans killed this bill once, and it doesn't look like their Republican majority is any closer to getting a deal done. I know you've been working on other stuff, but what's your assessment? Do you think the Senate's going to come back in August?
Well, I think the path is very difficult for them. Senator Roth is probably right that they would need to get Democratic votes because they've already got one Republican member who's defected on the
Senator
issue.
Senator Kapinga?
Kapinga is off the bill. But really, the thing that's amazing is here you have 33 members of the Senate. Only two people are firmly publicly stating their position on it, and that's Kapinga and Roth. So you've got one vote for, one against, 31 question marks. Democrats are expressing a lot of reservations about this. If Republicans want to get it done, they can't lose even one more vote. And, you know, it's not uncommon for Kapinga, for other lawmakers to follow him in the on the conservative wing of the caucus.
Right. I saw that Senator Nass won't say yet how
That's
he stands
right.
on this.
Senator Vukmir won't say what she thinks of it yet.
Really?
That's right.
But new Democratic Senator Frostman. Now, there was a hint that he's considering voting for it.
He did.
This is playing out in so many different ways.
It's close to his district, right? He's up. He's near there. He just got elected in the special election, never taken a vote in the legislature, already has to stand for re-election. Former economic development director for Door County. The politics is going to be tricky for him. On the campaign trail, he was very critical of the Foxconn deal. This Kimberly-Clark deal is predicated or modeled after the Foxconn deal. It's the same per-job incentive. He called that too rich, so, you know, that may be and said that he would have voted against the Foxconn deal had he been in the legislature. So, you know, I wouldn't count his vote as a definite yes if I were a Republican. At the same time, he may be the kind of Democrat that they could lure to their side.
Well, I want to come back to politics, but first, Patrick, I looked up the July 4th Legislative Fiscal Bureau memo to Senator Schilling on the Assembly passed bill. And when you get to page 3, it scores it this way. This bill could cost $7.3 million for 15 years of a total of $109 million.
Yep.
But the page 2 of the memo, a tax credit equal to 17% of the eligible payroll for a full-time employee earning more than $30,000 and up to $100,000.
Right.
Do you think, isn't this the same deal that they offered Foxconn, that
yes.
Foxconn
yeah,
potentially could get?
That's correct. When they passed the Foxconn deal, they greatly increased the amount of per-job wages they would cover, up to the 17%. And their argument at the time was, this is this new kind of business. It's going to change the economy of the state in a transformational way. And for that reason, we can offer subsidies of this size. Kimberly-Clark is the first business that we've seen come into, you know, big, serious trouble where they might leave, and the governor puts on the table the same deal. That's what's got Kapinga off of it, is he says, that was supposed to be a one-time deal for a special type of business. We can't do this for something that's been around since the 19th century. Otherwise, we're going to go broke as a state.
Well, okay, now let's talk about the politics. Senate President Roth is seeking a second term.
Yep.
You and I are hearing from the same people who are saying he could be in trouble. We
sure.
don't know yet. So there's real politics in play here. And if this bill gets to the Senate floor in August, are some Democrats, Frostman and others, going to be hard-pressed to vote against it?
Well, sure. I mean, I think the politics cuts both ways. There's going to be a lot of pressure on both sides. You know, Roth is in particularly tough spot here because supportive of Foxconn, got that deal through the Senate.
Yes.
His critics in his district are going to say, well, you gave this deal to this company that's from Taiwan and going to be located in southeastern Wisconsin while you weren't able to get a deal through for the Fox Valley.
Yeah.
That said, somebody like Howard Markline in southwestern Wisconsin already may be feeling some criticism over the Foxconn deal, which he supported, now would be perhaps very unlikely to vote for something in the Fox Valley, also outside of his district.
Right.
But you're right. Frostman's going to feel some pressure on that, maybe some other
potentially
Dems. I mean, Dave Hansen is right from there. I don't believe he's up this time, and I'd say he was pretty critical in his statement.
Right, and he's got another plan. But what's at stake here is 610 jobs at the Cold Spring facility.
Cold Spring and Nina, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's actually in the village of Fox Crossing, but your point is there's another plant that they had mentioned might be closed.
There are two plants that they're closing, Fox Crossing or Cold Spring and then Nina. And so, you know, I think one some of the concerns raised by some of the Democrats is that, well, you could still put this deal in place, and there are still significant job reductions for Kimberly Clark, and now taxpayers are subsidizing.
And other Republicans,
some but not all the jobs.
Roth and other Republicans who are up this year, they could face some criticism. But
sure.
Democrats have voted against it. I don't know. Do you think it makes it to the Senate floor in August?
Well, I don't know. With a caucus this coming week, we'll see. You know, I think we'll know there. But really, I think Democrats are going to be reluctant to give up votes to Republicans, knowing that they're in a bind. I mean, what does Leah Vukmir do? She's running for U.S. Senate. Popular in the Fox Valley, not going to be popular among Republicans elsewhere who view it as corporate welfare. It's a tough vote for a lot of people on both sides.
It really is. Okay, let's change the subject. The governor is out this week calling himself the education governor. And are you among those who say this is him laying the groundwork to potentially run against Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Evers? Is this part of the governor's strategy?
Sure. Tony Evers leading in the polls in the Democratic primary. Walker's very well aware of that. He wants to position himself there. But Walker, you can tell, for some time has seen that it is viewed as a weakness among some in the public of his record on education. He's been trying to change that in his last budget. He put more money towards school. He's been talking constantly about how he's putting more money towards schools.
200 year one, 204 per student year two.
He's got this rural initiative. And so he is emphasizing that. I think no matter who his Democratic opponent is, you will hear him talking about education a lot because they're concerned that that could be an area of weakness for him.
Okay, so he's going to use the education governor theme against whoever, but at the moment it looks likely that it's going to be Tony Evers, who on his website says, since Scott Walker became governor, we haven't been investing enough in our kids. We haven't been investing in our future. Half the school districts in Wisconsin vote to raise their own taxes because our governor and legislature have failed to provide for our public schools. As I interview candidates, Patrick, they say K-12 education is about the top issue.
Yes.
And we were intrigued. If it's not education, it's roads. That
yes.
last Charles Franklin.
Marquette
Northern,
Bowl, yeah.
yeah, Northern Wisconsin rates their roads worse than Southern Wisconsin. Okay, new subject. Matt Flynn has had a tough week as a Democratic candidate for governor. Let's listen to some of the news conferences and then finally the response that Matt Flynn taped either yesterday or today to deal with it. So first, let's hear the video.
We've written a letter to Matt Flynn's donors to urge him, along with others now, for Flynn to drop out of the race. And I mean Sheldon Lubar. He's one of the most important people in this community. He's one of the wealthiest people in this community. He's a great philanthropist. It's inconceivable to us that he is taking much-needed money that needs to help kids and organizations to fund Matt Flynn's going around attacking victims, which he has done, and to falsify and lie what he did as chief lawyer for the Archdiocese.
And you see bishops and cardinals being accused and admitting their guilt, being sentenced to lives of prayer, silence, and penance. I'd rather see some of them go to jail.
Matt Flynn is not qualified and is not fit to serve as governor of the state of Wisconsin. When he tells you about his experience in the private sector, this is his experience: bullying victims of sexual abuse and covering up the scandal. When he tries to say that he'll be a strong negotiator related to Foxconn or any other issue, those are negotiation skills that he honed bullying the victims of sexual abuse and ensuring that they got less than anything they could have possibly deserved.
But I came in to clean it up. And I'm going to talk about four things today. First, the transfer of abusive priests to other parishes. That was wrong. I did not know about it. I was not involved in it. I was not asked about it. I did not condone it. As a result of my work right now, after I left the Archdiocese, any case of abuse is reported immediately to the police. The priest is removed from ministry. And if it is verified, he is permanently removed from any priestly or ministerial functions. Secondly, police investigations. There was full cooperation with all police investigations. We would not have tolerated anything less. Third, settlements. You could not undo the terrible things that had happened in the past, but it was important to give a settlement, compensation, therapy, and in some cases tuition to victims so they could overcome the horrible things that had been done to them.
Flynn opened this week by releasing a statement from former Archbishop Rembert Weakland, The ultimate assignment determination was made by the Archbishop. The lawyers were not involved. We were all extremely naive. We did not understand the power of recidivism. The problem with this, Patrick, is Rembert Weekend was, sure, he's resigned, but he paid $450,000 to someone who he allegedly had a relationship with.
Yeah, and he didn't pay it. The Archdiocese.
The Archdiocese did.
That was negotiated by Matt Flynn, as I understand it.
So
and Rembert Weekend, separate from that, you know, was in charge of the Archdiocese during this time that there was this big cover-up of abusive priests, and abusive priests were moved around on a routine basis.
Right. But then the governor tweeted, Democratic candidates should call on Matt Flynn. But and then you had the press conference. We showed a part of it, the executive director of the state Republican Party. Well, Republicans don't get to pick who they run against, do they? I mean, there's a little bit,
I did think it was kind of funny, you know, Republican calls on Democrat to drop out of the race. What the governor was trying to do there was to get, you know, we have this massive field in the primary. So Walker was trying to get the other Democrats to cast aspersions on Flynn or to stand by him and thereby maybe take some mud from that. So whether it worked or not, I mean, and the other thing Walker was trying to do is just keep that in the news cycle. There had been 2 or 3 days of stories about Flynn by having this Republican press conference and then the governor tweeting that, he was able to get some attention to the issue once
again. But when Democrat Matt Flynn has to spend the whole week responding to this stuff, he can't play offense.
Correct.
He's been in single digits in all the polls. So severe damage to his campaign?
Sure. And the one piece he left out here is the day that he releases the statement from Rembert Weekend, he has a 45-minute conference call with reporters where he's going over in detail as he's taking reporters' questions. I mean, it was a tremendously long news conference to talk about Rembert Weekend, how he thinks that he's a trustworthy person, how he handled individual cases of abuse, really talking about an issue that's not good for his campaign when he wants to be talking about how he's going to kill the Foxconn deal. And then he gets sidetracked in that conversation where he rails against the elites in his news conference and saying that he's fighting the elites in both parties. And somebody asked, well, you put $140,000 of your own money, you're Yale educated, are you not an elite? And he talked about how he didn't like the victimology elite and he didn't like people whining about money. He was talking about people attacking him, but to use the phrase victimology elite in a conference call that is mainly about the victims of sexual abuse by priests was maybe not the greatest framing for that, what was really a pretty bad week for Matt
Flynn. You surprised that of the 8 Democrats for governor, only Josh Pate has said, yes, Matt Flynn should end his race?
No, I wasn't surprised by that because I think in general people... You know, when you're running in a primary, you don't want to say, like, my opponent should get out because it looks like you're just, it can easily look like you're trying to position yourself. I think the Democrats would come back and say, why did the governor not call on President Trump to get out of the race when the Access Hollywood tape came out, for instance?
Well, but in our Wish I Was There segment, Mike McCabe says, look, I don't think Flynn was forthright, and this is why I'm not going to raise my hand and say I'm going to support whoever the nominee is.
Right. So McCabe is the one person in the race who said he won't automatically support whoever gets through. Pate had previously said that he would support whoever gets through the race, but now is calling on him to get out.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do a little public service here. The sales tax holiday begins Wednesday. This is a back-to-school sales tax holiday. Remember, there was a twofold emphasis to help taxpayers. There was $100 per child tax rebate checks. We don't know what that cost. Do we, Patrick?
We don't.
Okay.
I don't.
But the items, let's just go through. If you buy the following clothing items that cost less than $75, computers for personal use that cost less than $750, computer supplies for personal use that cost less than $250, school supplies that cost less than $75. I'm guessing, and I should know better, that this is going to cost like $15 million or something.
Sounds
like that.
Right.
Nothing like. Okay. So no big surprise in this. Is this going to score big points for the governor?
I mean, that's the great question, right? Is that Republicans in the legislature were reluctant. I guess some were very much for it. Some, particularly in the Senate, were very reluctant to take it up. They did pass it in the end. It's a one-time deal. The legislature sure could come back if they like the way it goes to try to redo it. It's happening 2 weeks before the primary. Will voters be thinking of lawmakers who passed it when they go vote in that primary? Will they be thinking of the governor this sales tax break when they go in November? Remains to be seen.
Yep, that's true. Our state treasurer, Matt Adamczyk, campaigned to end the job, but voters kept it in April. And as I've covered him, he's a one-person shop. I've covered him, and about a year and a half ago, he focused on how much money the state could save by ending some of the rentals. Now he's out with a new study. I think he's a member of the ETF board, Employee Trust Fund board.
That's where he got that. I'm not sure if he's on the board.
Right. So he came out today, this week, with some pretty dramatic examples. Someone who retired at 64 after serving 30 years of work has a pension of almost $1,000 a day. That same retiree, is entitled to $624,000 in health care premiums for unused sick leave. Let me explain that. Wisconsin state employees have a benefit. If you don't use your sick leave, when you retire, you can use the, you don't get cash, but you can have it applied to future health care costs. And finally, more than 20 employees are getting pensions of more than $200,000 per year. Adamczyk, who's running for Representative Dale Coinga's seat in the Assembly, said, "I know a lot of hardworking people that don't have a government job that would love to have even a fraction of this retirement." Speaking about the person, the retiree getting $364,000, this person earns $1,000 every single day for the rest of their lives. Is this going to resonate, Patrick? Is this going to be an issue in the next budget?
That's a good question. I think, do lawmakers look at this and say that they want to cap benefits at a certain point? When Governor Walker first came in, there was a lot of talk about the retirement system and whether we should look at it. Wisconsin is very well situated in terms of the funding of its retirement system, unlike places like Illinois, where it's in total crisis. We're fully funded, so we're in good shape in terms of can we pay for the benefits we've promised. That said, I think there are going to be some lawmakers who look at the numbers that Adamczyk is highlighting and say that's too much. The head of the ETF is saying, look, this state has thousands of retirees, and they're cherry-picking some of the most headline-grabbing numbers. If you look at, you know, the median, if you start looking at what the typical worker gets, it's nowhere near that generous.
That's true.
Because it's all based on your pay, what you make as a worker. So if you're a doctor or somebody at the investment board for the state that makes very high dollars, then you're going to have a big pension.
Maybe an athletic coach
might do pretty well in your pension.
But here's the bottom line.
Also, let's not forget public officials do pretty well in their pensions because of the way they're calculated as if they were a typical employee and not a part-time worker. So if a lawmaker takes a job with an administration and works 3 years, then that can boost their highest years of pay to something closer to six figures rather than the $50,000 they make in the legislature, and then they make a pretty nice pension.
And you and I have seen governors do that, whether it was
both parties.
Governor Tommy,
absolutely.
Whether Jim Doyle, and recently State Senator Sheila Harsdorf was named Ag Secretary,
yep.
And former Representative Keith Ripp,
Frank
named a deputy, and Frank Lissay went to
DOR.
Department
of Revenue.
Yeah. And the point is that that's going to give them an opportunity to perfectly legally boost their pensions.
Yes.
So we don't know yet if this is going to resonate because some of these numbers would, I think, get the attention of taxpayers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, I'm sorry, we have a couple more subjects, but the State Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, is now changing the focus of the school safety grants. $45 million, a big part of this second round will go for mental health issues, advanced training of teachers on mental health, creation of safety intervention teams of educators, counselors, and law officers to discuss threats and identify students in need of support, in addition to the provisions that harden schools. Big campaign boost for Schimmel in this
well,
school safety.
Well, there's certainly upside. This $100 million deal was passed after the Parkland shooting. The idea that Republicans didn't want to do the kind of gun restrictions that the Parkland students are calling for, but they wanted to funnel money into schools for school safety, got big bipartisan votes to do that. Now Schimmel's shifting the focus a little bit, but it does give Brad Schimmel an opportunity to be going around the state on a routine basis, handing out checks to school districts for something that really everybody can get behind.
With school district superintendents and board members in the background,
right.
And so local legislators, especially those who are Republicans.
Yes.
Yes. Let's now turn to a week ago. We lost former Senate President, Majority Leader, Minority Leader Mike Ellis.
Yep.
44 years in the legislature. He's colorful on Wisconsin Public Radio. I called him a rascal. Maybe we have time for an anecdote.
An anecdote about Mike Ellis. There's a lot of them. He was a great teaser. One of his tricks was to, he'd see you coming down the hall and he'd start pretend that he hadn't and be like, oh, that's Steve Walters, what a jerk. Oh, hi, Steve, how are you? He'd do that. He When he got into a topic, he was very focused on it. I remember talking to him in the hall one time, and he didn't care about appearances, so he's talking to me in the hall about some budget issue, and then he says, "Come here," and he walks right into the bathroom. So I don't know what to do. I walk in, and he goes to the urinal and does his business while he continues to tell me about the structural deficit, and I'm kind of standing there flummoxed, like not knowing what to do. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald walks in and he says, "Marley, what? I can't believe you're tracking down my members in the bathroom. You give us no privacy or peace." And Mike Ellis is just chuckling all the way.
Rascal, pure rascal. I'm going to tell one story. I was walking out of the Capitol and Mike was going home and he pulls over and says, "Oh, you know what I just did? I showed a Fox Valley news reporter in the Capitol a poll. And it was close to an election. He wanted to keep the job as majority leader. And he said, this poll showed that Democratic Senator Rod Moon of Whitehall was in trouble. So he gave the poll to the Fox Valley reporter, who then worked, obviously you're going to get reaction from Senate Democrats. They then pulled campaign workers from elsewhere to focus on Rod Moon. It was not a poll. It was kind of a fake. It didn't. Anyway, Mike Ellis, rascal character. Want to wish best wishes to his widow Sandy. Patrick, let's close this way. You've done a lot of work on an infamous tweet this week. Can you quickly summarize that?
Sure. This week there was Senator Lena Taylor put out a tweet about what she called voter suppression. Shortly after that, there was a response from the account of Representative Tom Weatherston saying that the opponents of voter ID were the true racists because they believed that minorities couldn't navigate the voter ID law. That was then deleted. It comes out that Representative Weatherston says he knows nothing about this tweet, that it was actually his aide who had posted it.
A Facebook post in his name.
Twitter post
in his name.
Yes.
In Representative Tom Weatherston's Twitter account.
Yes.
But he didn't write it, knew nothing about it?
Well, when I called him, he said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't used my Twitter account in 2 or 3 days. I don't know anything about this tweet that disappeared. Oh, my aide has access to my account. Perhaps he did it."
Do you think that's a common practice for ledges?
I think it's not uncommon for political officials to have their campaign aides or their government aides run their social media accounts. I mean, you can tell when you're looking at accounts. Some people have a very personal touch, and then you can tell it is them. Others, and I think this would be true for Congress and elected people across the country, others don't want to have much to do with it, so they leave that duty to someone else.
But if you want to keep your job as a staffer in the Capitol, wouldn't you run these tweets past your boss if they're going to appear in his Twitter account?
You would think. And, I mean, he did take it down before he was contacted. I mean, he removed it sometime after he put it up, before he was contacted by me anyway. So Weatherston says the aide told him that it was done by mistake. He says he doesn't know how a mistake like that could occur, and that he's reviewing whether to discipline the employee.
He's also no longer letting the employee.
He said that he took away his ability for others to use his Twitter account.
Yeah, I want to touch on one other subject. The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture announced a $12 billion package to farmers to help with tariff relief. And I checked with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. No estimates are available yet on how much of that might go to Wisconsin farmers, because spokesman Bill Koch said the criteria has not yet been outlined. But our farmers will get some of that?
It would seem so.
Yeah. I'm Steve Walders.
I'm Patrick Marley.
Thanks, Patrick, for filling in.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Rewind for July 27.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.